The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Wow, wow, wow. It's going to be quite a show tonight because I've been for a couple of days thinking about this, and I've been forced to return to my fundamental principles of why it is that it is so shocking for people who have seen my tweet about Philosophy Cat. And why is it that I strongly believe what I wrote in that tweet? Why is it that there's a part of the right wing that's like, yeah, JF, you go, you tell them. And there's another part of the right wing, or at least another part of the internet circles that read my tweet, whoever they are, that is totally in opposition to it. And ultimately, it boils down to what Andrew Wilson has taken as a position. Which is basically don't save white women who have stayed at the front line of a war they don't understand. And there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to say about this and why we have to be like this. And we will unpack all of it tonight on JFG Tonight. And it all relates ultimately to this girl who is now on a GoFundMe. The young girl who was wielding an axe and a knife. So the whole story is that, and we didn't know the whole story when the video went mimetic. I was hesitating at commenting because a lot of people say automatically, well, it's probably migrants trying to rape her and she's defending herself with a knife. And I was like, well, let's wait for the full story. Actually, it's the full story. Turns out people were absolutely right. Even if they were talking about it at the speculative moments where we didn't have the telling from anyone involved in the story, we now have the telling from one of the mothers of the girls involved. And it goes like this. So this girl is 12 years old and her sister is 14 year old. She is 14-year-old, her sister is 12-year-old, and she has to carry knives and axes, apparently, are quite common carrying items for her because they have been repeatedly harassed by brown migrants in their city. And so when they play in parks, they have to take for granted that there's a high likelihood that they will be approached by pedo migrants. And that they will try to kidnap them or try to, I don't know, tell them some commentary on them or tell them they're sexy. So the girl is armed on a regular basis and is getting harassed by brown migrants on a regular basis. Now, on that particular day, before the video recordings begin, and this is where you'll see the absolute shamelessness of this particular migrant. He first approaches one of the girls and tries to tell her that she's sexy. And the girls resist. They say, get the fuck out. You know, they're girls of the street. They're girls, I would suspect they are maybe from poor families, maybe single mothers. They're like street tough. So they say to the guy, no, they deny his advances. And the guy starts being somewhat physical. And eventually the whole altercation builds into one of the girls being thrown on the floor And then this migrant is being accompanied by a woman. Somehow there's a woman who gets in there and who starts beating on the girl. So now you have a migrant woman siding with the migrant man and beating a teenager into the ground to the point where the teenager has gotten a tennis ball size injury on the head, basically an inflammation around her cranium. And it seems that in that beating, both the brown men migrant that had initially approached these girls for sexual harassment, both him and the female partner of his have both gotten hits on this girl. Now, this is all happening before the video starts. So I don't know if it's in reaction to this beating or how many minutes after, but some point after this, and after, okay, now the ambulance has been called and this girl is going to the hospital, this girl decides to come back to the migrant who had done the beating and show him weapons. So shows him somehow that she has, I don't know if she had the knife already or she went to grab it. She shows him his knife. The migrant, just like the Shiloh Hendricks story, pulls a phone and he's like, oh, well, a white woman threatening me with a knife. Just like Shiloh Hendricks, it's like, oh, let me take this N-word to the internet. Let's see what the internet thinks about that. It's like, bro, you just beat down a teenager so that she went to the hospital, and you think you have the moral high ground of pulling a phone recording? So anyways, I don't know what goes on in the head of this guy, but somehow he thinks he has the moral high ground, and he decides to film her, and at this point she has shown him that that she had weapon, and her message with this weapon was, don't touch me or my sister. We're not gonna fall for your prostitution ring or your whatever kidnapping plans you had for us. We have weapons. We're gonna defend ourselves. Stay away from me and my sister. Threatening with these weapons. Of course, not threatening in an immediate way, but generally saying, don't fucking touch us. And this leads the migrant to pull his phone, and then we get the scene that went viral. We get what was filmed of this altercation.
Yes, you have a knife.
Can you believe that? Oh, she has a knife. She has a knife. Bro, you just got involved in sexual harassment and assault, and you're like, oh no, she has a knife. So don't fucking touch me. I will get your head backwards. I believe those are English threats of some sort.
Show the knife. Show the knife. Show the knife.
Don't touch
her. That's it. So there's a total of three girls involved. And I believe that the one with the short shorts is a friend, it seems, of the two sisters. And this is the big sister in the duo of girls that were getting harassed. And this girl here would be a friend.
Show the knife. That's it.
Or maybe she's yelling that don't fucking touch my sister. Anyways, I know that in the trio, there's one friend and two sisters. I love this rough and tough type of girl. Torn apart jeans. She casually puts her knife back in her belt like it's nothing. This is the kind of woman of the streets you need if you're going to have a family in the UK. It's like, wow, this girl is ready for the front line. I love her attitude. A little boyish for me. But that goes with my kind of personality and my evolutionary strategy. I mean, I've not been I've not been fucking the bottom in the city, you know? I'm always withdrawn. I like my woman a little more feminine. But you know that she's the right. She's the right one if you live in downtown, some city downtown in the UK.
Yeah, so don't I. Maratha, Maratha.
Don't talk to me. Don't talk anymore.
And then the camera gets up. It's like a scene from a movie. The camera slowly gets up and she's waiting there. So that's the scene. I find this hilarious, and I'm totally with this girl, by the way. I didn't write my tweet in criticism of this girl. This girl is faced with a local environment. She's forced there. There's not, she's 14, so there's not a decision she has made in her life that led her to be there. The entirety of her decisions come from our ancestors. But this is the point. This is the point where in the strategy of white withdrawal, and as we reconcentrate white people elsewhere on Earth, we're going to have to do something very difficult. Is we're going to have to shame people for decisions they haven't even made. Because it's time you get the memo, you know? We're going to have to tell people in white South Africa, look, it's time for you to leave South Africa, okay? We're giving you a couple of years and it's time to leave. And we're going to have to shame those who want to stay. A lot of people say, well, this is a mentality of retreat, Jeff, you're a Frenchman, you are a coward. Well, I'm an alive coward, and being alive is my first priority. Because when I look at all these people who are in regions of the world where my math has shown that it was all brown people within 100 years, I can't wait but be like Sarah Connor, and I'm hanging on the fence. I'm seeing the kids that are about to be blown up by a nuclear fire, and I'm like, no! And the nuclear bomb just destroys me, but I still hang as a skeleton to the fence, and I'm like, no! That's almost how I want to die, in a way. I want to die as a skeleton hanging on to a prediction. And that prediction tells a very dark story for certain white people. There are certain white people who will continuously, over thousands of years, just be continually raped and killed and raped and killed and raped and killed until there's no one left. Because I saw the future, because I looked at examples. I looked at Haiti. I look at white South Africa. And I see that there's no end but full brownitude for parts of the world. So this is where I come from. This map is the center of my thoughts. And you won't understand you will find that my tweets are a little rough if you don't understand where I come from. Where I come from is this. This is a natural human continent. Of course, it's two continents because it includes Africa, but see it as a place where we have a measure of what nature does. And illustrated in blue is the percentage of white people that still exist there. Notice that white people are concentrated in Europe. So those are percentages of European ancestry, okay? So, of course, they are concentrated in Europe. That's how we define those genes. Notice there's a line here. There's a line. There's literally a line where everyone is brown below this. And the closest you get to the equator, the more likely you are to be in the gray region. And eventually you are totally in the gray region. Now, look at what happens here. There are some white people that have seeded a European seed here in South Africa. These people, in my estimations, in my calculations, will not be there in 1,000 years. But this is where I start from. Nature converges back to black and brown people existing 100% of the population at these distances from the equator. And the line here, it may move with time. I personally believe that one day we will have brown people up to here. I believe that the gray area will actually click here because technology technology facilitates living in the north. So the easier it gets to live in the north, the more efficient our technologies for heating are, the more it becomes possible for brown people to push the line. But eventually they also start street shitting and they start messing technology. So they lose the technology that they win. So there's a push-pull happening. There's a push-pull happening that defines where this line is. And I want you to notice something about North America. This is a non-natural situation. Why? Why are there so many white people in the US? Why are there so many white people still in South America? It's because there was an event that was keeping the Africans and the Asians from crossing there. It was the lack of a naval technology. So America is an example of a non-natural setting that is slowly converging toward a natural setting. Because eventually the technological barrier is abandoned. Eventually black people discover boats, or in this case they didn't discover boats, but they can use our boats. And so what happens? Look, it's already in the process. Gray areas. Those are points of close to 0% or less than 5% European ancestry. So what do you have here? You have a seed of grayness that is pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, such that inevitably you're going to converge toward the natural setting of humanity, which is the closest to the equator you are, the more brown you are. Now, I have some bad news for those of you in the US. Look at this line. If I follow the equatorial line, I predict, based on this, that there will be 0% people with European ancestry in Georgia, Florida, California within 1,000 years. I know this is where we're headed. Now, as a mathematician, you have 2 points. I know this is where we are. I know this is where we're headed. I know there are people in Georgia right now. There are people in Georgia right now who would laugh to my face. They would say, oh, no, JF, you don't understand. We have the government on our side. Whites are still a majority here. We're handling this situation very properly. We are segregating. We have our little neighborhoods where it's very safe. We have our sheriffs for these neighborhoods. They look at any entry. No. We can deal with this. It's like, no. In 1,000 years, you're not there anymore. In 1,000 years, this happens. And it happens through rape, invasion, people getting tired, people moving out, white flight. It happens. You cannot fight against nature. You can only temporarily create a disequilibrium for nature. So the people in Georgia, I'm really looking at them the way Sarah Connor is looking at humanity is in a psychiatric hospital. I'm like, you're all dead to me. Like, I see the Georgia white person talking to me and I'm like, okay. I hear blah, blah, blah. But what I don't hear is, when are you getting out of Georgia? Because you're going to die. Your daughters are going to get raped. You're going to be killed. Oh, it's going to be a whole crime with a whole explanation. And they're going to say, oh, well, it was a car thief went wrong. Or it was a home invasion went wrong. But at the end of it, I know that you're either dead or you left. And I know this because I know the natural point of convergence of humanity. It's this. segregation of the races based on distance from the equator. Because there's just an amount of melatonin that you have to survive the sun and be well balanced to go on with the rest of your life. And then there's an amount of black people in a country where no matter where you are from the equator, they're going to push out the 5% whites that are remaining. This is an inevitable conclusion of humanity. So all of this to say, and if you wonder, what are the mechanisms that maintain this line here? How did we push back for so long? The mechanism is quite simple. Imagine that you're a bunch of brown persons. You have been collected into an army. Food is getting scarce. You're traveling. You're not sure that your leader is quite mentally correct, healthy. But at the same time, he's feeding you some stuff, so you're kind of making it. And you arrive with this, and you look around you, and everyone, your countrymen, are beside you. A bunch of brown men that you don't fully trust, and how are we going to do this? And then you encounter this.
Boom.
I mean, they don't even have to throw a javelin, and you know you're in trouble. Can you imagine you're a half-naked African with 30 half-naked Africans, and you have a couple of rocks and clubs that you've carried with you, and you encounter this? This is what maintains the line, and this is what we have to explain so much to women. It's like no line in the world for the fight for existence of the people. No front line in the world has ever been held by democracy, government programs, social workers. It's like, no, those are bad tools of war. And this is where it becomes a fucking problem that your girlfriend doesn't want to watch 300. Okay, because, well, I'm a male. I'm interested in military stuff. That's why I love 300. No, it's like we have to take all women in Western civilization, open their eyes by force, and have them watch 300. You have to understand what led to your peaceful existence. And this is what I'm trying to explain through my tweet. We'll get to it. But you maintain a front line against the invading brown hordes with only one mechanism: technological military superiority. And it ranges from the strategies with which you align through and the metallurgy that you make your shields with, the availability of projectile weapon. Because when you have your shield like this and you have your spear like this and the hordes are coming in, you can just, with just a little move of the shoulder, you're killing one person at a time. It's like chick, chick, chick. That's caloric efficiency. If you don't have caloric efficiency in the way you can combat the invading hordes, you're going to lose. And this is what I'm worried about when I see these appeal to, hey, white man rises on the internet. I'm like, this is not how the white man rises. The white man doesn't rise with a wood axe in the UK. The white man doesn't rise by taking an axe to the park to push back the pedo hordes. That's not how white men maintain lines. That is how they do. And that is what has guaranteed forever the existence of white men. So, no, I'm not a coward. I'm a tactical thinker. Okay? I'm not a coward. I'd be the first to be on the front line, and if I was in an army like this, I would be happy to stand in the front as the first line. But don't send me into a disorganized war in which I am at equal or even inferior technological superiority or tactical superiority. you're telling me I'm going to fight. And this is the era of Philosophy Cat. It's like, if you foment in the man the desire for war and aggression, there's a bunch of men who are just overly testosteronal. They get out, they're drunk one night, and they're like, oh, here, I'm gonna get rid of this problem. And he fights someone who he thinks is a migrant pedo, and it's not sure, and it's disorganized, and ultimately you're gonna get outnumbered. Because that's not how the white man wages war. And by the way, the phalanx and this idea of lining, that's just the first idea that led to the defense of the European civilization, if you want to include the Greeks in it. Eventually, it's projectile weapon to harass the other army before they even can get to you. I mean, can you imagine you're starving, you've been on the road for 300 days, and you're receiving fucking arrows on the head, and you're seeing your countrymen just arrows into the cranium. Projectile weapon, eventually tanks, aircraft, warfare of the modern technological type. All of this is how the white man wages war. To tell a white man, go out there and make sure you protect these girls from these migrant rapists, or to do like Philosophy Cat, which is to ask, where are the men? Well, that is not how we wage war. Men don't wage war in a line that's constituted by partly state agents, partly social workers, partly women voting. No, no. When war happens, we'll wage war in a way that you won't believe. You won't believe how much our instincts are going to come back. But I'm not waging war in Brittletown, UK, okay? I'm not waging war there, and I'm not waging war without the technological advantage. If there's not a way in which my weaponry allows the poking of at least 100 enemies before they get to me, I'm not in it. I'm an asymmetric warfare guy. And if there's not a way for me, and in fact, I'm kind of at the edge of the phenomenon in that I believe I should be able to kill 1 million people before I die. I believe I should have the technology to overpower my opponent so hard that there's 1 million of them before I'm dead. And that is aircraft, that is nuclear bombs, that is what modern warfare allows. Now, for the general people, I would say there's the setting of the average white male is perhaps a 10-to-1 ratio. Perhaps the regular Scottish guy would be happy to wage war in a situation where he has armors and sword that allows him to kill 10 people before he dies. But I'm not playing a game where I have infinite pedos coming at me with different angles, and all I have is an axe. I'm not doing it. And it's not because I'm a coward, it's because I'm intelligent. That's the European difference, okay? Ruth Sternwood says, Elon said production is hard. Well, warfare is downstream of production. Absolutely. Nate Mack says, against the riffraff they're sending in, it should be 100. So now there's been a give, send, go. I don't know that I'll donate to it. I take it less to the heart than I do Shiloh Hendrix. Shiloh Hendrix maybe was closer to me being an American. I felt her story more. But I'm happy that this girl is getting a success on her give, send, go. Justice for Lola and Ruby. While walking in their local community, Lola, Ruby, and Maya, 12 and 13, were accosted by two adult foreign nationals. The foreign nationals were directing inappropriate sexual remarks at Lola. When Lola and her sister told the migrants to leave them alone and go away, Ruby was viciously attacked by the adult female, yanked to the ground by her hair, and both migrants proceeded to kick Ruby in the head on the ground. It's fascinating, this interaction between the male brown person and a female brown person. So how is it that you're harassing little girls with a woman? Is she your recruiting staff? What the fuck? How does that work? Maybe sometimes these prostitution rings and, you know, child rape rings, sometimes they have a female on staff. Doubting Thomas says, JF, is the solution then to enact global cooling? By the way, the climate alarmists predict that the Gulf Stream will reverse the unusually warm weather of Europe, hopefully lowering your line. Definitely, if anything can help having a colder heart, it would definitely help on the line of white people. So I want to get to my tweet now and understand that this is the background. I think things in terms of what happens in 1,000 years from now, therefore what happens in between. And I see rape, murder, rape, murder, rape, murder, rape, murder, rape, murder. Up, oh, I'm leaving town. Rape, murder, rape, murder, rape, murder. Up, oh, I'm leaving town. And with this is the background with which I write this tweet. Now, this tweet was in response not to the girls, because I have nothing to criticize of the girls' behavior. This tweet is a response to Philosophy Cat's behavior. So let's first see Philosophy Cat and why, in my estimation of things and the way I look at things from a military tactical perspective. And remember, if we're gonna build a phalanx, and whatever technology, in fact, whatever technology came after the phalanx, if we're gonna have a line that we defend, either with planes and nuclear weapons or with spears and shields, if we're going to have a phalanx, we're going to have a white society to build this technology. And so the first step is reconcentration of white people to a point where they are nucleized enough and conscious enough of the situation for other whites around the earth that they are willing and say, no, that's no exaggeration. We're going to do a phalanx. We're going to do a fucking line of people you can't cross. Now, we're not at this point anywhere on earth. And so those people who stay in those non-white areas, they're kind of a slowdown on my view of the future. Because the more they stay, the least we have reconcentration, the least we have a line that we can defend. So understand that when I say run away, run away, run away, run away from the city, run away from the non-white areas, what I see is if you don't run away right now, you're slowing down the building of the phalanx. You're slowing down where is it that we can even dream of imposing a line? So that's why it's very serious, all of this. Philosophy Cat says, men aren't picking up axes because it's not their daily safety that is being threatened by rapey migrants. So in my view, first error here from Philosophy Cat. We're not picking axes, not because it's not our daily safety that is threatened by rapey migrants. It's not a matter of, is my safety hurt? If we could protect someone else from hurt, we would. I would love to have an efficient mean of protecting this girl. But my mean is to tell her, please regroup behind the phalanx. Because we're white men, we fight in phalanx. Please go behind, wherever you want. Behind, not in front. And yet I have the big problem that in the current war that we are in, there is such self-denial and self-delusion in women in particular that they all want to stay at the front line. It's like, imagine that our ancestors literally driving forward a phalanx to defend themselves. Imagine if they were stuck with women saying, no, we insist we want to stay in front of your phalanx. That's the situation. That is the current situation of society. They insist on staying between our spears and the rocks being thrown by the other side. That's a bad place to be. But it's not that I don't care about her safety. It's that there is nothing I can do humanly as long as she stays there. And here is another point that I want to integrate to this, which is the idea of the inheritance of sin. Someone realized on Twitter today that this all ultimately boils down to the inheritance of sin. And the person is not a Christian, but he said, I'm not a Christian, but one of the things I do like about Christianity is this idea that you inherit sin and that, yeah, you may not have done nothing wrong in your life, but you're still a sinner. He said, this seems to apply here. Because this girl has made no decision at all to be there. But the totality of her ancestors did. And it dates back to 500 years ago. My ancestors saw that France was going to shit. And they took a boat and they went to North America. Her ancestors didn't see that the UK was headed towards shit, and they stayed there. Now, to anyone who says, oh, JF, how could you have told? I say, you lack vision if you don't understand how, again and again, our ancestors have successfully guessed that the line was somewhat, was not defensible, and guessed correctly, and therefore tactically withdrew behind what they thought was the best phalanx at that moment. Again and again, ancestors have been able. And if you are an American, your ancestors were so visionary that they saw the UK was going to shit when some tax was imposed on tea. And they said, no, we don't want any of this. American Revolution, we start over new principles. Fuck them. They saw this because of a 2% tax. You know, that's the meme that they often say. It's like, you stay in the US at 30% tax. Your ancestors invented a new country because of a 2% tax on tea. So yes, again and again, the vision of man who see, okay, this place is going to shit, I have to get to the edge. Again and again has driven the survival of what seems today to be the best receding of white people anywhere else on Earth. Okay, maybe Australia is doing good, but eventually they will be conquered by the Asians. So down the line, we may very well have white people only in North America because of a bunch of visionaries who have said, no, that's too much. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying in the France of the 17th century. And I have no idea what motivated my ancestors. But there was something wrong locally that they hoped to escape. And they went to a new place. That I know. And so, again, inheritance of sin. This girl didn't decide to live in the UK, but her genes did. Her genes, when they were in her parents and her grandparents, they all failed at joining the American Revolution. They all failed at taking any of the boat that was leaving. And it's a little bit like the elves, you know? It's like if you have infinite life, but you have to take the boat when things get shitty. When things get shitty in Middle Earth, you have to take the boat. If you decide not to take the boat and marry a human, you're going to end up being immortal. That's the metaphor of the elves in Lord of the Rings. It's like if you choose to engage with the world, if you stay at the front line, if you stay in front of the phalanx, you're mortal. You're gonna die. If you go elsewhere, you might be immortal. And here, consider the immortality proposed by J.R.R. Tolkien as being the idea of continuity. The idea of continuity of white people. New Guy Prime says, what boat? I'm talking about the boats that crossed the Europe and brought people to North America. The boats that led to white people existing in North America. That's what I'm talking about. Borup says, yep, in New York City, it obviously had a heavy Italian population, but as they assimilated and gathered wealth, they all left. They all moved to Florida and New Jersey, etc. So there's these constant moves, and it is not about personal safety, Philosophy Cat. It's not that I can't care about her. To an extent, I do. I mean, and I'm saying in my tweet, I'm kind of rough with her because I say she has no value. No one is coming to save her because she's not worth saving. I don't mean that she is not an individual of quality. If I wanted to make street kids, I think she would be the perfect pairing. Can you imagine street kids with her street smarts and Papa JF's high IQ? I mean, he would become the top gangster in whatever town she lives in. So she is a human being of a certain value that could have a value in another context. But the point of my tweet is to say she has no value in the current context because she stubbornly stays in front of this phalanx. Girls and young women are the ones on the front lines of this fight. They are the ones being targeted for attack, and so they are the ones who pick up weapons and take matters into their own hands. Not out of bravery, but out of sheer necessity. If men felt the pull of necessity, they too might pick up weapons. And in situations where they've been personally threatened, some of them might have done so. But they aren't the main targets. It seems like the boots on the ground revolution against migrant crime will be led by the ladies who have learned the hard way that no one is coming to save them. Not their fathers or brothers, not the men of their community, not the state. They are already in the thick of the battle while the men are still living in fear of the state. When men aren't willing to risk the wrath of the state to protect their daughters, then their daughters must carry that burden themselves because the only other option is death by migrant gang rape. You can see what Philosophicat is doing here. She is trying, oh, well, man, don't you want to take action? If I were you, I would take action. Don't you want to fight the state? Philosophicat is trying to appeal to just baseline testosterone, stupid fighting energy. And this is disgusting to me because to take the white man, to take the man, the line of men who has invented this, and to ask them to walk around Charlotte's Bro, around the park of the UK, and kill some migrants who want to rape your daughter, is the most ridiculous thing you can ask for. It's going to send the most high testosterone and arguably perhaps the toughest and the most courageous man into jail, really, into a stupid direction where even if they don't get to jail, it's going to be because they get killed by whatever waves of organized migrant crime they're fighting. You're calling for a Batman. You're stupidly calling for a Batman. And you're doing so in a way that totally misunderstands the art of war. Santa Claus says, Kat is an 11-year-old girl, a very intelligent 11-year-old girl. Well, I think there's some sort of arrested development thing where I don't know that that adult females differ that much from their teenage self. But anyways, so let me explain every element of my response, and I see there a fully rational case, even if people were shocked and some people are like, no, JF, you need to appeal everyone to fight. Well, no, I'm an intelligent guy and I will always defend intelligence. And it's not intelligent to ask for like brutes of the UK to rise up and and to do so against the state, because the state is going to be there to keep them from doing it. The state is actually going to put you in jail for fighting a migrant pedo. So it's really not interesting. There's no technological superiority. There's no organization. That is not the kind of war I'm fighting. I said, this is the kind of dumb female position that makes one realize why most societies had to restrict female public speech in some form. What Philosophy Cat is engaged in here is contest-building behavior for males. Female instinct. They can't help it. They want to see two male deers colliding with each other just for the fun of finding out who's the strongest. No empathy for the losing one. So whenever you hear females appeal to male violence and say, what are males doing? Why aren't you taking action? Remember something. One, they are standing in front of the phalanx stupidly. They are appealing you to the lowest of the lows of violence, and it is not organized, it has no chance to work. They are asking you to enter at an equal ratio. They're asking you to do a coin flip on your life. They're asking you to enter a fight without technological superiority. You have to reject this. And never forget that the reason they like fair contest, the reason they like fair contest is that fair contest is ultimately it's how deers gain a sexual partner. It's the seeing of the winner that excites them. So that is what I'm referring to when I talk about contest. I talk about all these animals who do courtship by having males fight each other in a coin flip situation. White men have not won with coin flip situation. We've won with chariots, horses. We've won with superiority. Shamrock Shake says, ultimate test of personal strength. And never forget, if we start coin flipping, we lose. The white man has no chance against the birth rate of Africa. So you want to go 1-1? You can have an infinite number of contests if you want. At some point, there's zero white people left just out of the math of it. We can't win the coin flip. That is the whole idea of European civilization. We won't win at the coin flip. We can win at poke the horde. That I can win. Poke the horde is a game I'm going to play. Let me poke the horde. But don't tell me to go defend a public school park or whatever. First, while I empathize with the young girl's position here, I can assure you that she is born from a losing line of stupid women who have caused her current predicament. I can assure you that multiple times in the history that led to her sperm and egg encounter, there were men saying, maybe it would be nice to get out of the city. But their female partners were saying, I can't get out of the city. We need a place that's close to my family and an elementary school and the nail polishing salon and my gay dog groomer. Of course, some men do succeed at convincing some woman of getting away from the city. So what's left in the city are the beta males and idiotic women that the city deserves. Because there's one truth about humanity that is resounding through our genes, and I can tell you over millions of years this is always true. The women stay in place too much. The men travel. They travel with some woman, but sometimes they travel alone and they go fuck the local woman somewhere else. But there's this ultimate problem of humanity, and it's mind-bending. I don't think people realize how big this is. Women want to stay in front of the coin flip fight because they're going to get fucked by whoever wins. Men want to escape the coin flip fight because they don't want to bet their existence on a 50% shot. And so you have this problem where genes of women, and we see it when we look at the mitochondrial genome history, genes of women, they move less. They stay in place. There are genes of women in the agency right now. The agency, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it in English, that are still the genes of the original Aegean civilization that preceded Greek civilization. They're still on that little island. But the male genes, they're kind of a truck that passes over it. The male genes, you see them travel, they do... You see arrows, you know, coming out of Africa. They spend some time in the Caucasus, and then they go North Europe. The genes of males travel, the genes of women stay in place. And so in a strategy of reconcentration of whiteness, your bottleneck is how many women can you convince out of staying in their hyper-socialized environments? And when I say she had many chances of leaving the city, I don't mean just moving 20 kilometers to the east. I mean the entirety of her ancestral line were given many chances to get out of the UK as a whole and didn't take them. And I don't want to shame her for this, but through inheritability of the sin, yes, we're going to have to start saying your ancestors made a bad decision. And that may mean that your genes are going to die soon. And you might want to do a better decision now. You still have a chance. I say let's use shaming to the extent that it can drive positive behavior. Because if we can convince this girl of leaving her stupid town, then that's one more reproductive entity behind the phalange. That's how I see it. As a result of the thrill-seeking behavior of city females who cannot make rational real estate decisions, Wendy's, the axe warrior here, because I love how she looks like Wendy's from Don't Starve Together. You know, you can see that she has kind of red hair. They're not exactly red, but you can see that she has kind of the freckleish, Scottish red hair type. I'm sure she could have red hair babies. And so that's why I call her Wendy's, because in Don't Starve Together, Wendy's is an axe and sword female. She is... All that Wendy's can do and Don't Starve Together is to be a warrior. She cannot... there's lots of things that she cannot do. But the one thing that she does well is be a warrior with an axe. As a result of the... So Wendy's, the axe warrior here, was confined to an environment where she would inevitably be surrounded by brown rapists. She was deprived of the valid tactical retreat decision-making of her male ancestors, trying to protect her to the benefit of the stupid, socially dependent decision-making of her female ancestors. That we see this through the genes. We see this female stay in place, men move, and sometimes they have difficulty pulling females with them. So that is the story of humanity. It's where the male spatial integral of his genes is higher than the female's. They're oscillating more. They're traveling more. See, we are in a war. It's time for the front line to retreat. But there's a bunch of women who are so excited they don't want to retreat. They want to stay at the front and see the male deers collide. There are females in front of the phalanx rooting for one-to-one armed combat. And it's like, no, I'm not getting out of my phalanx line. You, woman, you walk behind us. They're asking for fighting at a disadvantage or fighting at an equal, you know, one-to-one ratio. They're asking you to do a coin flip on your life. That's what Philosophy Cat is asking. But males know something else. Males know that blood is spilled rather randomly. males know that war is its own form of gambling, most of the time not worth pursuing, especially not when infinite hordes of assailants are thrown at you by your own government, also female-controlled. So what Philosophy Cat doesn't say in her, because Philosophy Cat materializes all forces of male as being careless and woman as being the true victim. But that's not the real story. The real story is that the state is currently neutralizing our ability for self-defense, and it's because of women. So here women are the aggressor. Here women are the one who have voted for continuous liberation, liberalization of the government, continued leftism, growth of the state, to the point where we cannot even defend ourselves against a crime. To the point where in Canada, someone got a home invasion and shot in the direction of the criminal, and the bullet bounced and hurt the criminal, and he got prosecuted for fighting against a home invasion with a gun. With a gun where I believe it was even a warning shot. I believe he wasn't even intending to shoot the guy, but the bullet ricocheted and just caused an injury. So you can't shoot a person in your own home that entered criminally by breaking into the window. You can't shoot them if they're there to kill you. So, and that is female caused. That is female caused. And no, yes, the warning shots are legislated. There's all these criminal laws around shooting within 100 feet of a house, of a residential house. And it's like, okay, now you're going to spam residential house everywhere, and now I lost my Second Amendment. That is what's happening. Anyways, it is a stunning illustration of female entitlement to believe that after such an intergenerational streak of bad decision-making as the one that led to this young girl's situation, the young girl is entitled to having males somehow materialize magically around her to protect her. This reveals an aspect of the Western female mind. They believe security is a given. And this is important in the move toward the new form of thinking that I want to push for, and that I think inevitably is going to become the form of thinking for most white people on planet Earth. Behind the phalange, your security is guaranteed to an extent. Maybe there's going to be some crimes here and there, but in general, we will guarantee law and order behind the phalange. If you stay in front of the phalange, if you insist to stay at the border of the line, we can't guarantee your safety. And this is what we have to move toward. And this is what I've experienced in my life. I've seen the continuum of extremely state-involved, extremely migrant-positive places, like big cities, like places in the U.S. where I've lived in place with large black population, small black population, mostly white population, but with some sympathy for brown migrants, lots of brown migrants, few brown migrants. And in this continuum, all that I can say is I've never felt safe anywhere until I reached a point where I'm like, okay, this feels like I'm behind the phalanx. This feels like there's not much that can happen to me. And it feels like here, if something got stolen from me that's worth $30, I feel that the police would come and say, tell us about it. We want to find the thief. Because in North Carolina, when I was surrounded by, you know, here's a neighborhood of somewhat whites, here's a neighborhood of blacks, and I would get things stolen for $100 value, $500 value, the police wouldn't care, and there's nothing they would do. But that's because I was in front of the phalanx. I was in an area that is at the front line of a race war, and I was on the losing side of that war. When I see how things work in Alberta, I feel much safer here. Security is not a given. The default state of the world is brown rapist, literally every direction you look, 360 Google camera style. Each of them trying to grasp to steal anything of value you may have. And if you have nothing left, at least trying to get a boob squeeze or two. To escape this dire situation, you need to pay for protection. And the way you pay is by negotiating for the reproductive rights of your pussy forever. The big problem that this girl finds herself in is that even sympathy of her family. Even if I was there as a white savior and I go there and I protect her from the pedo migrant. Sympathy will mean nothing. There's way too much populations in these towns for kind of a reputational effect. So it's not like I'm gonna get better woman because I saved this little girl. The reputational effect is close to zero because people are living isolated lives. And even if that girl fell in love with me and said, "Jeff, I'm gonna marry you in 2 years from now," that would mean nothing. It would mean nothing because even marriage means nothing. And that wouldn't mean that I have reproductive rights on this girl forever. It wouldn't mean that I am more successful now. So you're really asking for a donation. This is what you're asking for, Philosophy Cat. You're asking for me to donate a coin flip risk at equal ratio of technological superiority with arguably a disadvantage because the state hates me and wants to keep me from defending myself. And you're asking me to enter in that coin flip with no reward at all for me. That is the problem of females at the front lines. The reason no one is coming to save this girl is the objective mathematical fact that she is not worth saving. The reason she is not worth saving is that there is no valid reward that can be promised to a white savior male who would come to her rescue. Even if she was to fall in love with him, feel the butterflies for a few weeks, what does love mean anymore? It doesn't mean forever, and it doesn't mean reproductive rights, and it doesn't mean she will, unlike her ancestors, be able to acknowledge her own inability to make decisions and abandon herself to the leadership of the man. In fact, when you consider all of these things, how likely is it? How likely is it that, let's say I'm a young 16-year-old JF, or maybe I'm a 12-year-old JF. Let's say I'm a 12-year-old JF and I go save this girl. How likely is it that I get reproduction from it, that eventually she will, unlike her ancestors, abandon the places she lives to join me behind the phalanx? How likely is it that her love will be durable enough that we can even get to adulthood? It's almost zero. So when I say she's mathematically, her value is zero, I mean that. I don't mean that she's not a good person. She seems like a quality person. She's kind of cute. I'm sure she's going to have great success in the future as an adult reproductive agent. But for now, she has zero value for any man that passes by. So what am I working for if no contract can be established validly for the woman I'm supposed to save? Women will have to fix marriage if they want their male deer to fight one more fight for them. Because, yeah, I'll get into a coin flip confrontation to protect my wife that I have confidence is trustable and has value for me. But I'm not going to go on a coin flip to save someone who is part of the causes of my predicament, who is part of the reason why I'm playing an handicap game against criminals, who is part of the causes, and her line, her genetic line is part of the causes of why she is being victimized. We can't save everyone at the front line. At some point, our only tool will be shame and regroup. Shame and regroup. What? You're still living in South Africa? Shame and regroup. What? You're still living in the UK? shame and regroup. Woman, by entrusting the state's police for their security rather than their private surroundings, have made the devil's bargain. They have decided to trust bureaucrats for their protection, and they get what they deserve. Bureaucrats that will do the bare minimum, or even worse, turn against them when it is politically convenient. This is not to mention the fact that women have, for decades, had the state confiscate any tool that the white man may have had at his disposal to handle the situation. Philosophy Cat wants men to walk around wielding axes to protect girls. How inefficient. They will all end up in jail before they get to throw one good slash, and they'll stay in jail for much longer than this girl, thanks to the biased enforcement of the state against males, and now white males, a gift from decades of female political decision-making, female judges, and anti-male biased juries. As I said many times before, it will take 1,000 years of systematic rape before the most stubborn women change or learn. Let's get this shit started. See, I'm on a mission that you guys probably wouldn't believe. I'm like, I've seen the future. I've seen infinite rape, okay? And that traumatizes you, okay? I've seen infinite rape, and like, I'm like, okay, let's get going. Let's go. Let's rip that band-aid off. We're gonna have to have a situation where repeatedly and for decades and decades and decades, there are little girls like this that get victimized at the front line, and we kind of explain to the other girls, well, maybe you want to move here. And it's like, no, they don't want, so they stay there, so they get raped. I've seen infinite rape, and I'm fucked up from it. But I'm fucked up in a way where I can see reality clearly. I can see where we're headed on the map of whiteness, and down further says, a beautiful mind, the scene of rape. Like in the movie Beautiful Mind, the equations are coming. Yes, that's pretty much what I've seen. I've seen rapes, a loop of infinite rape. And it's like, I'm like, what am I doing if I live here? And what I consider will be the last fortress of whiteness. Like, I imagine this little gray area here expanding. How many rapes do you have in that expansion? 1 million rape? Maybe 10 million murders? Maybe 100 million rape? And then it expands. And I'm like, at what point can I say I'm pretty confident that I can stay here and that my descendants down the line, 1,000 years? And I conclude that it's pretty much here. Pretty much where you see mooses start. Where you start seeing mooses is where it's at. Not saying that for sure the line will reach here. But I'm like, hey, there are already plenty of Indian migrants in Canada. If they accumulate through their natural tendency, they gravitate toward the equator. They gravitate toward about 10 degrees to the equator. Well, they might concentrate at the bottom of Canada, but they'll still be there. And maybe some of them will cross into the US and brownify that area here. So I'm like, yeah, I have to be above this. I have to be somewhere here, you know, and just enjoying the cold. Lord of Sigma says, JF, rape noticer. Shamrock Shakes brings the idea of the phase rape. Oh no. I don't know that people who don't know about math. No, you don't want to get into the phase. if you get into the rape phase, it's like you don't want to be there. So yeah, that's how I see life, and I hope that for the people who disagreed or for the people who agreed, that you know a little more of the background of why am I being so rough to Philosophy Cat. It's because Philosophy Cat is here while the Brown Invasion is happening. I mean, she's here while the Brown Line is pushing up and pushing up and pushing up and pushing up, and she's like, you know, why aren't men showing up to defend? Well, it's because men that are intelligent enough should be about here. About here, Siberia. I mean, you should be at this height approximately, because it's going to take a lot of rape before a stubborn woman just say, hey, maybe it's time I stop voting left. Arguably, it's not going to happen, so you have to think asymptomatic. Shamrock Shake says, I think JF is right. Santa Claus says, yes, she's just literally appealing to fleeting white authority. Shamrock Shake says, we must stop sugarcoating everything. Yes, that would be my takeaway message before I leave you guys and conclude the show. It's just what I've explained today in a whole hour, to put this vision of the world into constant commentary is kind of my mission, my life mission. And it's very hard to explain because most people don't think that way. Most people aren't aware that, yeah, you know, we are in a war because this has not been grayified yet, and it's due to be grayified, and it's gonna be grayified. Because the same mechanism that ensured that there's not a single white person here is the mechanism that will happen here, and it will happen here, and it will happen here, and it will happen here. And the phalanx is our only, ultimately, line of defense. Borup says, I think I get it. You're saying the people who are there are content with the antics that happen in that area, and the ones who knew it was a problem are already gone. This is such a beautiful phrasing. That's exactly what I'm saying. And so I'm saying, of course, we can't blame individually the person for being there, but there were plenty of people who saw that Europe was going to shit over 500 years. Some of them, their line in the sand was crossed when the tea tax happened. Some of them, their line in the sand was crossed in the 70s when the state was growing so much and the red tape was getting unbelievable. So wherever your line in the sand is, the fact is all of those people that have fled have made a better decision than all of those people that have stayed. And this will be true of anyone who finds themselves at the front line of whiteness.